Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yesodi HaTorah, Perek Zayin. This perek and the following three, the last four prakim of Hilchot Yesodi HaTorah, deal with the topic of nevuah, or prophecy. We made reference earlier to the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, and in this perek he elaborates on two of them, the existence of prophecy as a means by which God communicates with certain people in certain circumstances, and the unique stature of Moshe Rabbeinu as a prophet. Why does the Rambam engage in these discussions here? The Mishneh Torah is a work of halacha, just as the first four chapters of Yesodi HaTorah dealt with philosophical matters because they were relevant to the mitzvot of belief in God, loving God, and fearing God. The discussions of nevuah here are relevant to the mitzvah of listening to the Navi, which we'll see at the end of today's perek. Remember that the Rambam meant for the Mishneh Torah to be relevant for the present and future. Even though we don't have Nevi'im among us today, the concept of nevuah exists and can, and hopefully will, become manifest again one day in the person of a Navi. Therefore, the Rambam includes the mitzvah of heeding the Navi, and that requires the background about nevuah with which our perek begins. Halacha Aleph. Miyesodei hadat leida she'akel minabei el et bnei ha'adam. It's a fundamental principle of our faith to know that God communicates with people through the medium of prophecy, nevuah. Vein ha'nevuah chala ela al chacham gadol b'chokhma, gibor b'midotav, v'lo yehe yisro mikaber alav b'davar ba'olam, elohu mikaber b'dato al yitzro tamid. Prophecy only rests upon someone who is very wise, very strong in his character traits, someone who does not let his desires overtake him, but he overcomes his desires. Bal de'a rechava nechona ad ma'od. Someone who is very intelligent, thinks very clearly. Adam shu memula b'chol amidot ha'elu. Someone who has these traits, shalem begufo, and was also healthy and physically capable, kishi kanes la pardes, when he enters the metaphorical orchard that we spoke about in Perek Dalet, that is learning about Maaseh Bereshit and Maaseh Merkava, v'imashech v'otan ha'inyanot hagdolim ha'rechokim, and he is drawn after those lofty matters, v'tiyeh lo dat nechona lavin u'lasig, and he understands them well, v'hu mitkadesh v'holech, u'poresh midarchei klal ha'am ha'olchim b'machashakei hazman. At this point, he begins removing himself from the masses and their pursuits, their material pursuits, v'olech u'mezarez atzmo u'mlamed nafsho shelo tiyeh lo machshava klal be'echad midvarim b'teilim v'lo mehavlei hazman v'tach v'lotav. He trains himself and pushes himself not to be involved at all with any of the mundane matters that can waste someone's time. Ela dato tamid p'nuya l'mala. Rather, his focus and concentration are directed upward, as it were. Kishura tachat hakisei lahavin b'otan atzurot hakdoshot ha'tohorot. He is tied figuratively to the throne of God to understand those matters that are close to God. Umistakel b'chokhmato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kula mitzvah rishona ad tabur ha'aretz. And he perceives in its entirety the wisdom of God from the heavens down to the earth. Tzura rishona refers to the chayot ha'kodesh, the highest level of angels discussed back in Perek Bet, and the tabur ha'aretz refers to the earth and the matters of Maaseh Bereshit discussed in Prakim Gimel and Dalet. V'yodeh mehem godlo, when he knows through those matters the greatness of God, miyad ruach hakodesh shora alav. At that point, he becomes suffused with ruach hakodesh, this divine spirit, which is the essence of prophecy. Once that happens, once this Ruach HaKodesh suffuses him, then he becomes close to the level of the angels. Remember that 10th level of angels, the ones closest to humans that are called Ishim. He becomes essentially similar to them in terms of his awareness and his closeness to God. And he turns into a new person. And he understands things with an intelligence that he didn't previously have. He's at this point higher than the level of other sages, just as Shmuel, when he tells Shaul HaMelech about how he is before he actually becomes king, he will encounter a group of Nevi'im, and he will start to prophesy with them, and he will turn into a new man. This idea of turning into a new man and gaining a new level of intelligence is the essence of what it means to be a Navi. Halacha bet, hanviim malot malotein. There are different levels of Nevi'im. Kamo sheyesh bechokhma, chacham gadol mechavero, kach v'nevua, navi gadol mi-navi. Just as there are sages at different levels, one wiser than another, so too, some prophets are greater than others. V'chulan ein ro'in marei ha-nevua, ela b'chalom b'chizyon ha-layla. All Nevi'im, we'll see later that Moshe Rabbeinu is an exception to this, but all Nevi'im only see their prophecy in a dream, in some kind of vision at night, o b'yom achar shetipol alehen tardema, or during the day, after some kind of blackness, some kind of sleep overcomes them. Kemoshen amar b'mara elav et vada b'chalom adaber bo. When Hashem describes how He communicates with Nevi'im, He mentions how He appears to them in a vision or in a dream. V'chulan kishemit nabin evrehen mizdazin v'koach aguf koshel v'eshtonotehem mitarfot. And when a prophet prophesies, his limbs shake, his strength falters, and his senses become confused. Mitisheer hadeya pnuya lahavin mashit. In this way, he's completely detached from his physical surroundings, and he is entirely focused on the vision that he sees. As it says regarding Avram in the Brit Bin Habitarim, when Hashem speaks with him, that a darkness descended upon him. So to Daniel, talks about how when he received a nevuah, he lost his strength and was not able to engage physically with the world around him. Halacha Gimel. Hadvarim shmodi'in lanavi b'mar'eh ha-nevuah, derech mashal modi'in lo. What a Navi is told in his prophecy, he is told through the manner of some kind of analogy, some kind of metaphor. Umiyadi chakek b'libo pitrona mashal b'mar'eh ha-nevuah. So he sees some kind of a vision, and he understands at the same time what it's supposed to mean, the true meaning behind it. V'yeda mahu. Kmo hasulam shiraya Yaakov Avinu u'malachim olim yordim bo v'haya mashal l'malchuyot v'shibudan. The example he gives is in the beginning of Parashat Vayetze, Yaakov in his dream saw the ladder of the malachim, the angels going up and down it. That the Rambam understands to have been an analogy for the various kingdoms that were going to rule over the Jewish people throughout history. U'kmo achayot shiraya Yechezkel v'asir anafuach u'makel shaked shiraya Yirmiyah v'hamgilah shiraya Yechezkel v'ayifah shiraya Zechariah. He brings there other examples of visions that various prophets saw. Yechezkel saw, we mentioned the Merkava, the chariot with the different kinds of celestial beings. Yirmiyahu saw a bubbling pot and an almond branch, and these things represented different messages relating to the impending destruction, Churban of the first Beit HaMikdash. And so too Yechezkel, in another instance, saw a scroll. Zechariah, in one of his nevuot, saw a large measuring cup, and they understood when they had these visions what they were supposed to represent. V'chein sha'ar ha-nevi'im, yesh shehen omrim ha-mashal u'pitrono kmo elu, v'yesh shehen omrim ha-pitron b'levad. Nevi'im, when they actually say over their message, some will say the vision that they saw along with its meaning, and others will just say the meaning. U'famim omrim ha-mashal b'levad b'lo pitron. Others will just say the vision that they saw without the explanation that is meant to the listeners to understand. K'miktzat divrei Yechezkel u'Zechariah. Yechezkel and Zechariah sometimes did that. V'chulam ha-mashal b'derech chida he-mitnabim.
What's common to all these prophets is, as the Rambam explained, they receive their vision in the form of a vision, some kind of hints, in contrast, as we'll see shortly, to Moshe Rabbeinu, whose prophecy was much more direct.
Halacha Dalet. Kol ha-nevi'im ein mitnabin b'chol eit shiyirtzu, el mechavnin da'atan v'yoshvim smechin v'tovei lev u'mibodedin. A Navi cannot just get a prophecy whenever he wishes. He has to concentrate and sit down and be in a good state of mind, a calm state of mind, and only then might he get nevuah. She'en ha-nevuah shora lo mitoch atzvut v'lo mitoch atzlut ela mitoch simcha. Because prophecy does not rest on an individual when he is feeling sad, when he is feeling heavy and unable to move, rather only when he is feeling happy and in a calm and good state of mind. V'chach b'nei ha-nevim lifneihem nevel v'tof v'chalil v'chinor. Therefore, the Nevi'im sit with musical instruments playing to them to calm them down. And this way they try to attain a prophecy through calming themselves down and reaching the right state of mind. So when Shmuel talks about the Nevi'im that Shaul will meet, and he says they are prophesying, he doesn't mean literally that they are receiving prophecy at that moment. He means that they are trying to reach a state where they will obtain prophecy, just like you talk about someone being mitgadel, someone is growing, he's in the process of growing to a point where he'll be able to be of a certain stature, but he's not at that
stature just yet. Halacha hei. Elu sheim mevakshim nitnabei, heim anikraim b'nei hanevi'im. So those who are still attempting to reach that state of prophecy, they're referred to as b'nei hanevi'im. V'alfi shemechavim da'atan, efshar shetishre alein shechina, efshar shelo tishre. Even though they reach the right state of mind, that might get prophecy, that might not.
In the Mori Nevuchim, the Rambam elaborates on this point and says that there are three schools of thought regarding prophecy. There are those who think that anyone can be a prophet. On the other extreme, the philosophers believe that only someone who has reached intellectual perfection can be a prophet, and then the prophecy will automatically come to him. But the Rambam says the Torah view of prophecy is that someone does have to reach that very high intellectual level in order to be a prophet, but that's not sufficient. Ultimately, it depends on whether God decides to grant him prophecy or not. And he brings the example of Baruch ben Neriah, who was a student of Yirmiyahu, who had reached the appropriate intellectual and spiritual level that he could have been a Navi, but for whatever reason, God chose not to deliver Nevuot to him. So it depends on the will of God, but the person has to reach the moral, intellectual, and spiritual level where he's deserving of becoming a prophet.
Everything we just described is a manner of prophecy for all Nevi'im, both in earlier times and in later times, except for Moshe, who is both our teacher and teacher of all the Nevi'im. What's the difference between Moshe and other Nevi'im? Now the Rambam is going to list a series of distinctions. Whereas other Nevi'im, as the Rambam already explained, will only receive their Nevuah in a dream
or a trance-like state.
Moshe was able to receive Nevuah when he was fully awake
and conscious and didn't need to be asleep or in some kind of trance.
That's distinction number one. Number two, kol ha-Nevi'im al yidei malach, lefichach ro'in ma shehen ro'in b'mashal d'chida. Moshe Rabbeinu lo al yidei malach, shenamar peh el peh adaber bo. V'nemar v'diber Hashem el Moshe, panim el panim, v'nemar utmonat Hashem yabit. Kolmar she'ein sham mashal, el ro'e hadavar al burio, belo chida, belo mashal. The Rambam already explained that all Nevi'im only receive their message in the form of
some kind of metaphor or vision.
And this, the Rambam says, is because their Nevuah is received through some angel intermediary who's conveying the message from God to the Navi. However, with Moshe, God would speak directly. And here there are a few different psukim that imply that Hashem spoke directly with Moshe, pe el pe, panim el panim, v'hu shara tara mi'ida alav, umare v'lo b'chidot. When Moshe had a prophecy, he would see everything in its complete and full state without any unclarity. That was the second distinction. Now we're up to number three. All other prophets, when they receive a prophecy, we described how they are in fear, taken aback, they collapse, they're not able to have any physical interaction with the world. Moshe was not that way. He would speak to God the way a person would speak to another person. Just as a person does not become scared or collapse when speaking with another person, Moshe would not get scared or collapse when speaking with God. That was the third distinction. Now the fourth. Kol ha-Nevi'im ein mitnabim b'chol eit sheyirtzu. Moshe Rabbeinu ein okein, ela kol zman sheyachpotz, ruach ha-kodesh lo vashto, unuvah shora alav, veino tzarich lechamein da'ato, lizdamein la. Shrei hu mechuvan u'mezuman ve'omeid k'malachei ha-sharet. Whereas all other Nevi'im, as the Rambam explained, could not just get a prophecy whenever they wanted, they had to prepare themselves for it. Moshe Rabbeinu was not that way. He could receive a prophecy whenever he wished. He didn't need to do any preparation. In the story of Pesach Sheni, when the people who couldn't bring the Korban Pesach on time wanted to know what to do, Moshe said, okay, stand on, I'll hear from God what you should do. He knew that he could just ask God and get Nevuah right then and there. This is after Har Sinai, when the rest of Bnei Israel go back to their tents and depart from that great vision they had in Har Sinai. Hashem tells Moshe, you continue to stand with me, which means that Moshe continued to have this direct relationship with God, that he could receive prophecy at any point. Halamadata, shekol ha-Nevi'im kesha-Nevuah mistaleket, chozrin le-oholam. That is to say, other Nevi'im, when their prophecy departs, they, as it were, go back to their tents. Shutzorchei aguf kulan, that is, they go back to their normal, mundane, earthly lives. Kishar ha'am, like the rest of the people. Vichach inan porshim minishotehen. Other Nevi'im do not need to separate from their wives, because they can have a regular, mundane, earthly life. And every so often, they get a prophecy which requires them to separate. Moshe Rabbeinu lo chazar la'ohalo harishon. Vichach parash min ha'isha la'olam. But Moshe never went back to his tent, and he separated from his wife. Umikol hadomela v'nikshara da'ato b'tzur ha'olamim, and his intelligence became connected to that of God. And the splendor that Moshe received when he first went up to Har Sinai never really left him. The Karan or Panav, he became on the level of the angels, the rays emanating from his face. All this represents the fact that he was in a constant state of closeness to God. Halacha Zayin, Hanavi, Efshar Shetia Nevuato La'atzmo Bilvad, La'archiv Libo U'lasif Da'ato, Ad She'eda Ma'shelo Hayayodea Me'otan Advarim Hagdolim. So the Navi might receive a Nevua, which is only for him. The prophecy is only for him to understand better things that he had not understood before. Efshar She'eshulach La'am Me'ameharetz, Olan She'ir O'mamlacha, Livonein Otam U'lhodiyam Ma'yasu, Olimno Otam Ma'asim Harim Shebideihem. Or it's possible that he will be sent to the Jewish people, or to some specific city or some specific kingdom, to teach them, to explain to them what they need to do, or to warn them that they have to desist from what they are doing. Think about Yonah, who was sent to Nineveh to tell them to stop doing Averot, or Nineveh would be destroyed. Now, finally, we're getting to the beginning of the practical matter. How does one know if a person who claims to be a Navi really is? And here the Rambam says that is why God will usually give him some kind of sign, some kind of miracle to perform to convince people that he really is a Navi. Velo kol ha'ose otu mofet ma'mininoto shu Navi. The fact that a person comes along and does some kind of miracle, just based on that, we don't necessarily believe that he's a prophet. Ela adam shehinu yodin bo mitchilato shu ra'ui l'nevuah b'chokhmato v'masav shinetala behen al kol b'nei gilo. Rather, someone who we already knew was deserving of becoming a prophet, based on his actions and the fact that he was at a higher level than all b'nei gilo. By which the Rambam doesn't mean people of his age, but people of his stature, of his place in society. And we knew that he was someone whose manners were like those of Nevi'im, in terms of his holiness and his separation from earthly manners. If someone like that comes and does some kind of wonder or miracle and says that God commanded that we listen to him, then we have a mitzvah to listen to him, the pasuk in Parshat Shoftim, Elav Tishma'un. Here we get finally to the mitzvah of this perek, which is a mitzvah of listening to the Navi when he is the type of person described in this perek. Ve'efshar she'aseh otu mofet ve'eino Navi. Now, it's possible that someone of this stature, who we might think could be a Navi, will come along and do one of these miracles, but maybe he's not really a Navi. And the wonder he did was through some kind of magic, some kind of trick. Nonetheless, we have to listen to him. We are commanded that if someone who is at the level where he could be a Navi, comes and does this kind of wonder for us and brings us a message, we need to listen to him. Now, it's possible that he's lying, it's possible that he just did a trick, but the Torah relies on what's called a chazaka, that if a person like this really comes and says he has a message from God, we can believe him. As an analogy, in court, we decide a case based on the testimony of two witnesses, even though it's possible that those two witnesses are lying. If these two witnesses are people who we know to be honest Jews, and they come and testify, we don't need to worry that they might be lying. We can assume that they are telling the truth. About these kinds of matters, the Torah says, look, you just do what makes the most sense given what you know, and don't worry about what might be hidden. God will take care of that. God can see what the real truth is. We are commanded to do things based on what makes the most sense, based on all of our knowledge. And therefore, just as we listen to two witnesses, so too we listen to this person who claims to be a Navi, if we know him to be appropriate and worthy of being a Navi, and he claims to have a message of God. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.